I ask you this morning, amen, as we're going to turn to the Word of God on this morning, and I'm excited about, always excited about the Word of God, amen. But I ask you to turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Amen. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14 together. And then open to receive from God.
Amen.
How many believe that God has something to say to you today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe that's so important that when you come in here to believe and to release your faith and say, Lord, I know you have something for me.
Amen.
Amen. Have that confidence like that, right?
Yes.
I know you have something for me today.
Amen.
Because God is mindful of our situation. Amen. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him. Amen. God is mindful of you.
Amen.
Just think about that. God has you fully on his mind.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Not partially, fully. You are fully on God's mind.
Amen.
So, in your situation or circumstance, you don't have to pray and go, God, don't you see, don't you care, we perish, like the disciples did. Jesus said, where's your faith? And saying things like that is demonstration of a lack of faith.
Yeah.
To wonder if God cares about you. God has you fully on his mind.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Come to God from that perspective. Lord, I know you are thinking about me right now. Amen?
Yeah.
If I'm in the middle of my situation, I know you are thinking about me right now.
Yeah.
Amen? Then the next thing you say is going to be something different. You're not going to say something foolish like, don't you care?
Yeah.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
Exactly.
Then you'll say something like, I know you love me.
Amen.
So I know you're going to bring me out of this thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I praise you even right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, what a different posture to be in. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We're in John chapter 6 today, and we're believing that God is going to speak a word unto our situation. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's look together. Let's pray first, and then we'll look at the scripture, and then go right ahead. Amen. Father, we bless your holy name today.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just simply love you. We love you, love you. You can't even say it enough, God, how much we love you and cherish you, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Father, we're thankful to be here. We're thankful for this place. We're thankful for one another and the fellowship that we have. We're thankful, Lord, for those even who aren't here, and thankful, God, that you are watching over and caring for those even right now.
Yes.
And Father, we ask you, Lord, to speak into our hearts, God. We sense and discern your presence in this place. God, we ask you to speak a word of life unto us, O God, a word of enlightenment. Give us, O God, a word of strength, Lord, that we need right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
open up our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our hearts that we may receive and be blessed by the word from the true and living God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to speak a word of transformation unto us. We shall never be the same, oh God, after we hear what thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray now that you use me for your glory and your praise, your honor. May you be glorified and magnified through everything that happens in this place. So, Father, it is all about you and your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bless you, God of Zion, and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're in John chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 1. And we're going to read down to verse number 14. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, but he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus feeding the 5,000.
Amen.
And this miracle is in every one of the 4 Gospels. Amen. In Matthew 14, in Mark chapter 6, in Luke chapter 9, and in John chapter 6. Amen. And that's the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000. And it's 5,000 men.
Yeah.
Right? The other version, the other gospel writers tell us not counting women and children.
Yeah.
And so upwards of 10,000-15,000 people that fed with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. God is speaking to us today concerning himself, and our title is The God of More Than Enough. Amen. That the God that we serve is the God of more than enough. Amen.
Amen.
And that is a word of encouragement to us, because so many times we feel and we focus on the things that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on insufficiency. And in truth, we are insufficient. But the blessing is that we serve a God who's more than enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if we can place and keep our focus on the God of more than enough,
mm-hmm.
then we will never let our insufficiencies keep us back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so God wants to talk to us today concerning himself, that he is the God of more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, as we delve into this scripture text a little bit, Jesus, amen, drew a crowd.
Yeah.
And the scripture tells us in John chapter 6, verse number 2, why a great multitude was following him. It says it was because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. In other words, because he healed folks.
Yeah.
Just get that in your spirit. A lot of people follow Jesus because he healed folks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's no wonder then that the enemy works so hard against God's gift of healing today in the church.
Yeah.
See, because he understands, if I can block people from believing in divine healing, if I can block people from receiving divine healing, then see, that will cut off some folk from following.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I'll tell you this. When folks realize that someone was blind Bartimaeus was blind, but now he sees, oh, you know when words spread of that. When that man was at the tombs cutting himself all day, and then he's now clothed in his right mind. Oh, you know, Jairus' daughter, all these miracles being done, people are following Jesus because they're like, this man is healing.
Yeah.
Huh? The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the blind are given their sight, the deaf hear again.
Yeah.
And people are following.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen today?
Wow.
You wheel people into a church in a wheelchair and they go out jumping and rejoicing?
Mm.
I'm telling you now, that church is filled next Sunday.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you now.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Huh? In this day of the internet?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where stuff can get posted on Facebook?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And everywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, people come from all over.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's why the devil's so busy trying to keep you from believing in divine healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen?
Exactly.
But he understands, man, if more folk would receive their healing,
mm-hmm.
If more miracles, listen, Jesus was, it's not all about the miracle now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is more concerned about the message.
Yeah.
But how many of you know him? Amen. You got to be in the house to hear the message of the house.
Amen.
Amen. You got to be in the house.
Yeah.
And there are some people who aren't in the house because they go, but they know God is curing people of cancer, healing people of cancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he's restoring sight to people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When people who say, I couldn't conceive, and now, amen, we're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, because we put our trust and our hope in God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Man, when word like that starts to spread around, people will come into the house.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they may be out of curiosity at first, but all you need is for them to be in front of you, and then you can say, what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then that word starts to minister to their heart and capture their heart. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody who is on the outside is part of the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. And the devil knows it, so he said, you know what? Let me keep healing. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got people who are busy, blogging and stuff, and talking about, no, you got to suffer in silence, and you got to suffer gladly, and God's trying to teach you something. You see? And so there's a whole legion, a generation of people who believe, God must have a purpose for this. Yeah, this sickness is not unto death. It's that the glory of God might be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see this, amen? And so we know the devil is a liar, amen?
Yeah.
And we're going to preach, and we're going to teach, and we're going to pray for those who are sick, who are infirm.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And any sick among you, let them go to the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And let them pray.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Why did God tell us that? Why did he say that?
Wow.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If you're sick, let them go to the elders and let them pray. Why he just right? And the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're sick, what's the much? Healing.
Healing. Power.
Come on.
Amen.
And so the enemy knows this, amen. And so people are following Jesus, amen. And so here they are. And Jesus sees all these people. And then he says to his disciples, he said, where are we going to buy bread that all these people may eat?
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says he was testing them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And see, God asks questions.
Yeah.
Right? And he, not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants you to start saying some things out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
One, so you can hear yourself. And then second, so that he can begin to correct your words. Amen. And put words of faith inside you. Amen.
Yeah.
So he said, where are we going to buy enough bread that all these people may eat?
Right.
And look at what Philip said. Amen. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, that every one of them may have a bite.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A little nibble.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said, though, 200 penny worth. 200, and in that day, this day, amen, a day's wages was a penny.
Mm-hmm.
So what he was saying was 200 days of wages. Wasn't enough. That's almost a year's worth of wages, amen.
Yeah.
You're sitting there working every day.
Yeah.
That's almost a year's worth of wages. So listen to what Philip's saying. He's saying a year's worth of wages is not enough to feed all these people.
Wow.
That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
But look what he says. He said 200 penny worth, and he uses the word is not sufficient.
Mm.
See, that's what he said. It's not sufficient. Then Andrew chimes in and says, we have a little lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? He's saying the same thing. We don't have enough.
Right.
So both of them are speaking words of insufficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're saying we don't have enough.
Yeah.
They're seeing a situation. Jesus brings it to their attention and says, how are we going to feed all these people? And they both conclude, we don't have enough.
Yeah.
And see, that was true in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough
mm-hmm.
in the natural. They had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. They had nothing more. And you got upwards of 15,000 people on this mountainside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many of you know that alone in the natural is not enough?
Right. Yeah.
So they were speaking the facts. The fact of the matter was they had 15,000 people and they had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
Yeah.
And that's not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Those are the facts. But the truth is that Jesus was with them.
Yeah.
And we got to understand something. Truth supersedes fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truth is greater than fact.
Yeah.
Right? The fact is You have this diagnosis from the doctor. I see something on your lungs. That's the fact. You can't deny that the x-ray shows what it shows.
Yeah.
That's the fact. But the truth is, by his stripes, I'm healed. Amen? Amen. Right? The fact is, your bank account says what it says. But the truth is, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory.
Yeah.
And so you have to make a determination. Are you going to focus on the fact or are you going to focus on the truth?
Amen.
And too many times we focus on the fact.
Yeah.
And when you focus on the fact, you're going to find out something. It's insufficient.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. When you focus on the fact, it's insufficient. The fact is, I can't do it all. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That's okay. The fact is, I can't do it all. The fact is, I don't know it all. Amen? The fact is, I have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, there's no limit to the God I serve.
Amen.
The truth is that God knows it all. Amen?
Yeah.
The truth is that God can do all things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so what am I going to focus on? The facts? Or am I going to focus on
the truth?
The truth. And see, they focus here on the facts. And this is something that many times we do as well. They said, we don't have enough. Amen. And yet, the scripture tells us, amen, that Jesus took what they had, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they declared what they had was what? Not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They said, this is not enough. You got two fish, five loaves. That's not enough. Right?
Right.
See, that makes it out. And here's the thing, too. Not only did they not have enough factually in the right,
mm-hmm.
but what they had was not only a little, it was of poor quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was barley loaves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The scripture says they had two fish and five barley loaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because barley, see, you can make bread in these days. You can make bread out of wheat, or you can make it out of barley.
Right. Yeah.
Wheat was more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Barley was common man's bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Barley was poor man's bread.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So they have poor quality. So not only do they have a little in quantity, they have poor quality. They have poor man's bread.
Yeah.
See, God said, listen, I don't even care if you give me a little, and I don't care what quality it is. Just put it in my hand.
Yeah.
Amen? And give me poor man's bread, and I'll make a comfortable meal out of it. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So here they have poor man's bread, and only a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, give it to me. And they give it to Jesus, and we know the story. Amen?
Yeah.
What did he do? He thanked,
mm-hmm.
he blessed, mm-hmm. and he broke.
Yeah.
And he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples distributed it to the people. And the scripture said, look at this. He told them to make it to them. Verse 11, he took the loaves, he gave thanks. Always got to give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You always got to give thanks. Amen. Be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, give thanks. And he gave thanks. He distributed to his disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise other fishes. And look what it said, as much as they would. You know what that means? As much as they, the people, as much as they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He fed them until they were fully satisfied.
Yeah.
Starting out with something that the disciples said was not enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Jesus, see, this wasn't like they didn't ration it out. Oh, you can like, everybody can only have one.
Yeah.
You can only have a small piece of bread and one piece of fish. No, they gave to everybody as much as they wanted.
Yeah.
Amen.
So there were some people on that mountainside who were like Italy, who were only wanted a little bit. Amen. Then there were some people on the mountainside that was like Paris, that only wanted a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then there were people like James. Amen. Who were like, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all that you give me. Amen. And the Bible says that he gave to as much as they wanted.
Yeah.
So if James wanted three or four helpings, James got three or four helpings.
Amen.
Right? out of these two fish. So look at the miracle now.
Yeah.
It's not just feeding 15,000, which is, that's miracle enough.
Yes.
But it's getting to them as much as they wanted to have.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Fully satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I mean, no, God fully satisfies your hunger.
Amen.
Amen. God's not in the business of partial satisfaction.
That's right.
God's in the business of full satisfaction.
Yeah.
With long life will I satisfy you.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And show you my salvation. God is in the business of satisfying, amen. He said he will satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle.
Yeah.
God is in the business of satisfying you. That's why you and I don't shortchange God.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't get to the point where you accept some watered down, diluted substitute for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
No, you go for the full monty, amen. I want the whole world, amen. Oh, bless me. Bless me indeed.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't settle for less. If God wants to give you more, don't you dare settle for less.
Amen.
Who are you to tell God that his more is the wrong thing?
Amen.
If God wants to give me more, Lord, give me more.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
So he gave them so they were satisfied. And then we also understand that after everybody was satisfied, there was some left over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
12 baskets full.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to where we started. Factually, we don't have enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
The facts.
Mm-hmm.
But they're standing in the presence of the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Yeah.
And truth supersedes fact.
Yes.
And so when truth started to move, now things get multiplied,
mm-hmm.
people are satisfied,
yeah.
and there's more left over for later.
Amen.
Amen. Why? But we serve a God of the more than enough.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
God doesn't understand this insufficient. And that's what they said. What we have is insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
We serve a God who is sufficient. God will turn our insufficient to sufficient.
Yeah.
But what that means, though, is that he doesn't just turn not enough into just enough. He turns not enough into more than enough.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And you have to get this in your spirit. See, because you have some things right now that you need, and you look in the natural and you go, not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
How many times have you said, don't have enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough strength.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough patience.
Mm-hmm.
We declare insufficiency over our lives more than we think.
Yeah.
Because we focus on the facts.
Yeah.
There's not enough time in the day to get all this stuff. Ever said that?
Yeah.
Not enough time in the day. Let me tell you, God put exactly enough time in the day that you need.
Yeah.
He didn't make a mistake when he made the day 24 hours.
That's right.
Amen. You don't need 25, 26, 27. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
24 is good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, 24 is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
So how you can say there's not enough time in the day? What do you say? God made a mistake?
Uh-huh.
He didn't fill the day with enough time for you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you that you need more time?
Yeah.
Than anyone else? God said, I'm going to put 24 hours in the day. You say what? You need more? Who are you? Amen?
Right. Yeah.
Right. We need to shut our mouths. Amen?
Yeah.
There's not enough time in the day. Well, who made the day? This is the day that the Lord has made. So you criticize the day the Lord made? What, it's too short?
Right.
Don't have enough time in it? You really want to say that about God?
Say it, man.
I don't have enough time in the day. The devil is a liar. You have exactly enough time in the day that you need.
Yeah.
Amen.
God didn't make no mistake when he made 24 hours in the day.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But we pronounce insufficiency over our lives too much.
Yeah, it's true.
And even when God moves, and he performs a miracle in our life, sometimes we don't get it. And I want you to know that the disciples, after this feeding of the 4,000, there was a feeding of the 5,000, there was a feeding of the 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's recorded in Luke, in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, it records the feeding of the 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And there in verse number 32, Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude. Because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. That's verse number 32 of Matthew 15. And the disciples said unto him, now this is after the feeding of the 5,000. Because the feeding of the 5,000 took place in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14. And so then we get to a second feeding. And the disciples said unto him, what should we have so much bread in the wilderness after feeding so great multitude? Now, Jesus had already taken 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed the 5,000.
Right.
And then when everybody ate as much as they wanted,
yeah.
And there was 12 baskets left over.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's 4,000, and the disciples act like that never happened. And we laugh until we realize the disciples are us.
That's right.
Because God does things for us,
mm-hmm.
And then we get ourselves in a similar situation. It may not be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just like it, not exactly the same. It was 5,000, now it's 4,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen. Before you needed $100, now you need 50.
Uh-huh.
Before you needed this, and now you need that. It's not exactly the same,
right.
But it's still a need.
Yeah.
It's still a need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how we get to the second situation, and we totally forget about the first one.
Yeah.
And we get back to one, how's this going to work? And we start looking in the natural again. We're in the, now it's like we're in the wilderness. Where are we going to get food in all this wilderness?
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
So we have different reasons, but we still are looking in the natural, and then we make a conclusion. It's not enough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And did the same thing. And Jesus said, how many loaves have you? They said, we have 7 and a few fishes. He commanded them to sit down. He took 7 loaves. He gave thanks. He broke. He gave his disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And they all ate, and 7 baskets were left over. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure we don't repeat this.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get it.
Yeah.
Amen. How many times does God have to perform a miracle and intervene in our lives before we understand that's His standard operating procedure?
Amen.
See, yeah. Here's the thing. See, man, this society teaches us that miracles are like once-in-a-lifetime occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you this. Miracles are daily
occurrences
with God.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Miracles are daily occurrences with God. They're not these once-in-a-lifetime things. What is a miracle to you? Oh, I got this. Some big thing. Oh, that was a miracle. No, let me tell you something, please. You woke up this morning, the miracle started right there.
Yeah,
amen?
Yeah, yeah.
You put your feet on the floor and you walked. Miracle. Amen.
Amen.
Miracles, listen. Here is what a miracle is. Miracle is divine intervention into the affairs of men. Amen?
Amen?
That's what a miracle is.
Yeah.
When God intervenes in our lives. And I want you to know something. God is intervening in our lives from sunup to sundown.
That's true.
Your day is filled with miracles.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Fact that I can come up here and speak in sentences is a miracle.
That's good.
Amen? Because God is intervening, and God is doing, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, without me, you can do
nothing.
That's right.
So what does that mean? All about doing is in Jesus.
Yeah.
In Him we live and move and have our being, amen? So He's in all about doing, it, but when we acknowledge it, we realize we are walking, talking, breathing miracles.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I stand before you a miracle. You sit before me a miracle. Amen.
Yeah.
You're a miracle of the true and living God. You are on your way, amen, to a devil's hell. And look at where you are now.
Yeah.
You stand sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and on your way to heaven. I'm telling you, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
You are a miracle.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some people want to say, well, I haven't seen a miracle. Oh, you see him? You're looking at one right now.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God is working in my life.
Yes.
Is God working in your life?
Yes.
That means He's performing miracles.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let's get away from this notion that miracles are these, you know, these huge events that happen once in a lifetime. That's for this world to think.
Yeah.
We know better. Amen.
Yeah.
God is always at work in our lives. Jesus said, amen, the Father is always working, and I too must be at divine work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God is always working on your behalf.
That's right.
But you gotta have that in your mind. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, know what you're gonna do? You're gonna look at your situation,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna pronounce insufficiency.
Yeah.
Not enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough room. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your garage is full. You've been living in that house for 30 years. Amen. And you keep more stuff than you throw out. And you look around. Right? And you look around and you go, we don't have enough room. Right? But if you ever go to God, amen, with your overstuffed shed and your overstuffed closet and your overstuffed drawer,
yes.
God will perform a miracle.
Yes, He will.
Amen. He'll start to show you the things you need and the things you don't. The miracle is His intervention.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, you realize, I don't need this thing. And now He's released a grace in your life that you can part with stuff that you were holding on to for dear life.
Right.
And now you're getting rid of things. The next thing you know, no square footage was added, but now you got what? More than enough room.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go in the house and say, baby, look what I did with the garage. Look how much room is in here.
Yeah.
Amen. It's the same garage.
Yeah.
But now God was able to come in and He showed you, I'm the God of more than enough.
That's right.
I can multiply. Well, watch this. God's good at math. He can also subtract.
Okay.
Amen.
Right.
And He can say, get rid of this, get rid of that. And next thing you know, what? You got more.
That's right.
Amen. But we got to understand, we serve God. So when we look, this is the thing. Well, let's turn to a scripture God had us in a couple of weeks ago. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Our God is the God of more than enough.
Yes.
Amen. We're getting that in our spirit.
Amen.
So we look at our natural circumstances, amen. We're not going to stop there. Amen.
Amen.
You may only have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. It may be poor quality. But in the hands of Jesus, amen, it's more than enough.
Amen.
Now look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Mm-hmm. What did I say? After 2 Corinthians chapter 3?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm looking in the wrong chapter. Okay. Let's look at verse number 3. It says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Now look what Paul says. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Amen.
See, Paul said something here. He said, in ourselves, we're insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In ourselves, in our own strength, our own resources, our own abilities, he's saying insufficient. That's a place of liberty. And that's a place of where power begins.
Yeah.
When you and I understand that in ourselves, insufficient.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
See? When we get to that point, we now, when we're at the end of ourselves, now we can begin to allow God to move in our situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But see, here's the problem. Is that we look at our resources, right? And then we go, oh, not enough. But see, in ourselves, it's not good enough. Our resources aren't good enough. Our person is not good enough.
Right.
Amen. Right? And so we will conclude, I don't have enough. And then the world comes and tries to teach you stuff. You got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Who are you believing in? You believe there's someone who's insufficient.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what the world tells you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You need to believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying you should be doubting yourself and being down on yourself, but more than believing in yourself, you need to know yourself.
Amen.
And you need to know, as Paul knew, amen, that we are, not that we are sufficient of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
See, once you begin to realize, listen, I can't do this by myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know everything.
Yeah.
Amen. I can't handle everything.
Yeah.
When you realize that you are at a point where you are truly insufficient for the task at hand,
mm-hmm.
see, as a child of God, don't give up, but look up to the God who's more than enough.
Yeah.
Right? Who is sufficient.
Yeah.
And then, right, you can be like Paul and say, our sufficiency is of God.
Yeah.
So you'll still be able to do it, but you know that what's making up for your insufficiency is the sufficiency of God.
Yeah.
That He now can move in your life and fill the gaps in your life. See, when you get to a certain point, you can go no further. And so now there's a gap between where you end and where the problem needs to be solved.
Yeah.
But God's a gap filler, amen?
Yeah.
And He allows the gaps to be filled so that now you can do what you could with Him,
yeah.
what you couldn't do without Him.
That's true.
Amen?
That's
true. But so, this is a place of power,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you know, I'm not sufficient, right?
Yeah.
And it's a place of freedom. So when people come looking to you and asking, hey, brother, you should be able to do this. Listen, don't look at me like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, even the apostles knew, but they used to get treated like gods.
Yeah.
Because Peter, you know, Peter's shadow was healing people.
Mm-hmm.
Handkerchiefs from Paul were healing people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And people would bow down, and the apostles would tell them, no, get up.
Exactly.
We're men just like you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're men who have God on our side.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So listen, you don't have to think you're something special, but your focus is on the God who is special.
Yeah.
He's a God of more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm not enough. I don't have enough strength, enough wisdom, enough ability, enough of anything to do the things that need to be done each and every day.
Right. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I serve a God who's more than enough.
Yeah.
And so guess what? With all the challenges that are facing me, I'm undaunted, amen?
Yeah.
I get up every day and I'm ready to go. Let me at him, amen?
Yeah.
Oh, the day don't make me pull the covers back over my head. And I throw the covers off. And I tell each day, let me at it, amen? How do you wake up in the morning, amen? Let me at it, amen? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
When you are serving God, that's how you wake up in the morning. Let me at it, amen? Let me at this day.
Yeah.
Oh, this day don't know what it's in for. Let me at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of you, because of God that's in you. Because
right.
of God you serve.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this day is a challenge, but let me at it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Let me put my hands to the task. Let me speak a word over that thing.
Yeah.
Let me lay hands on that thing.
Okay.
Let me pray over that thing. Let me confess something over that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let me at it. Amen? Amen. But Paul said our sufficiency is of God. Amen. Paul knew the difference. Amen. He knew the difference between being self-confident, amen,
amen,
and having your confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Psalm 118 and 8, it says that it is better to trust in God than amen than to have confidence in man.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to trust in God than to have confidence in princes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to realize, amen, that if we're going to have confidence, and see, this world teaches us to have self-confidence.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what happens? You ever have your self-confidence racked?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You ever have your self-confidence shaken?
Yes.
Anybody ever destroy your self-confidence?
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So what are you relying on when you want to be self-confident? You're relying on yourself. And you're insufficient in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I become self-confident, I'm confident in something that is not good enough.
Yeah.
So it's a mind game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mind game. Be self-confident. No, I don't want to be self-confident. I want to be God-confident.
Amen.
I want to be confident that God's going to help me. Amen. I want to stand here and be confident in the middle of the mess. God's still going to help me. God's going to deliver. God's going to save my son. God's going
yeah.
to bring back my daughter.
Yeah.
God's going to give me the finances.
Yeah.
God's going to heal my mother. God's going to heal my marriage. I want to be confident in what God is going to do.
Yeah.
Not in what I can do, because what I can do is not enough.
Yeah.
But I serve a God who is more than enough.
Yeah.
So I'm putting my confidence confidence in the greater. Amen. I'm putting my confidence in God. Self-confidence.
That's the Lord.
See, that's what the world, see? You get a trick back.
Amen.
You get the trick back. Because the world is teaching us all these things. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Pull myself up. Why should I pull myself up? When God says, amen, that I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness.
Yeah.
I don't need to pull myself up. God is upholding me with the right hand of his righteousness.
Yeah.
God lifts me up.
Yeah.
But other people are trying to pull themselves up.
Uh-huh.
That's why you're struggling.
Yeah.
That's why you're tired.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
We have a God who is more than enough.
More than enough.
Amen. A God who's more than enough. You remember when Paul had, he went to God because he had the thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I prayed three times to God to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't do it.
Yeah.
And God finally said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Right? For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Whose weakness? Yours and mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yours and mine. Our weakness. Our insufficiency. God says, my grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
He's not saying it's just enough, right? Because God's not a just enough God. He's a more than enough God.
Yeah.
So what's he saying? My grace is more than enough for that thorn in your side.
Yeah.
Paul.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? We all have thorns in our side. Maybe different ones.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But we all have thorns in our side.
Yeah.
And God's saying to us the same thing he said to Paul. My grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
My grace is more than enough for what's sticking you in your side.
Yeah.
My grace is more than enough than what's causing you discomfort and pain. My grace is more than enough for what's coming upon you right now.
Yeah.
My grace is more than enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My favor and my power
more
than enough for what you are going through. Amen? Amen. So what are you going to do in your situation right now? The situation that you look around in the natural and it just doesn't add up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not going to pretend.
Right.
The bills and the bank account don't match.
Right.
You can't pretend on that.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Right.
But unless when you got your petrol, either the funds are there or it's not. You can't pretend on that.
Right.
You go to the refrigerator, you can't conjure up a steak. You can't conjure, amen?
Right, right.
You can't conjure, so this is not mind games.
Yeah.
Nobody's playing around and like trying to say positive thinking. No, but we have to understand that if we're going to get stuck on the natural, then we're not going to operate in that realm of the supernatural where we put our eyes, our hearts, our attention, our focus on the God of more than enough.
Yeah.
Right.
This is not enough, Lord. But I thank you, God, that you're the God of more than enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I thank you, God, that you're the God of more than enough. Now watch this. Watch this. See, my wife and I were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Twice, Peter went fishing all night and caught nothing.
Mm-hmm.
First time in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus wanted to use his boat. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because the people were pressing on him and he wanted to get into the boat so he could preach. And he got up there and he preached. And after he finished preaching, he told Peter, he said, right, go launch out to the deep and let down your nets for a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, but Lord, we've been toiling all night and we caught nothing. Right? And Jesus is a carpenter.
Right.
And Peter's a fisherman.
Yeah.
So he's like, what? No offense, Jesus, but make your tables, I'll catch the fish. All right? Right? But he recognized Jesus as Lord, amen.
Right.
And he said, we've been toiling all night.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said, nevertheless, at thy word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, all you need is a word from God. Nevertheless, at thy word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he let down the net. He let down the net. But what happened? The fish almost made the ship sink.
Yeah.
He had to call over his partners.
Yeah.
Right? Because they had so much fish.
Yeah.
And then we saw secondly in John, when the risen Savior was on the shore, and the disciples had gone fishing. Remember, Peter said, "I'll go fishing," right?
Yeah.
And he went fishing, but they caught nothing.
Yeah.
And he said to them, "Hey, did you catch anything, brother?" They said, "No, we didn't catch anything." And then Jesus said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes your net's on the wrong side. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
Throw your net on the right side of the boat.
Yeah.
Right? And he threw the net on the right side of the boat, and they caught, 153 fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's two times they were out there all night. Caught nothing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they had, first time, so many fish, couldn't even fit through one boat. More than enough.
Yeah.
Had to go over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next time, there's only a few of the disciples. And how many fish they bring when Jesus got the coal and the bread on the fire and they're coming over there? 153 fish.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, like eight of them? They didn't eat that much fish, amen?
Right.
Why? But this is the God who's what? More than enough. And he could take you from having nothing to having more than enough on the basis of his word. Amen? So listen, if you're looking at your situation right now and you say, "I have nothing," I want you to know that does not intimidate God. And if it doesn't intimidate God, glory to God, don't let it intimidate you. Have your confidence in God. And if God is not intimidated, then you stand and go, "I'm not intimidated by it either."
Yeah.
Because is the Lord's hand wax too short? No, God can do it, amen?
Yeah.
So you can have nothing.
Yeah.
And at a word, God can turn that around where you have more than enough.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we have to, see, this is so important for us because there's so many things in our lives that when we look at it, it's insufficient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can look right now. If I were to call the church and say, not this church, just the body of Christ, how many of you don't have enough money right now? Woo! Hands off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many of you right now, you know, feel you don't have enough time?
Oh!
Right? How many of you right now with kids don't have enough patience? Oh!
Right.
Right? There are so many things that you ask people, "Do you have enough?"
Mm-hmm.
How many of you didn't get enough sleep last night? Oh!
Right.
There are so many things in our lives that, you know what? You can use a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's not sufficient.
Yeah.
But glory be to God, that's going to change today. Because you're going to get your mind and your heart focused not on the facts, but on the truth. That I serve a God of more than enough.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to serve a God of more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even the scripture, "God shall supply all my need."
Right.
How? According to his riches and glory.
Yes.
I want you to understand that last part.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have $150. And I need $100 to take care of all my needs. You have $100 need too. And you come and you ask me. Now most people are going to say, "I don't have $100, but I'll give you my 50.
Right.
Because I can only give you based on what I have.
Right.
And if I need $100 to take care of my needs, amen, more than likely, amen, the only thing I'm going to give you is 50.
Right.
Now hopefully you can go to somebody else and get the other 50.
Yeah.
Right. But I got to take care of my family.
Yeah.
But I need $100 for my family, you need $100 for yours, I got $150, I'll give you 50.
Mm-hmm.
I can only give you what? According to what I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much does God have?
Mm.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Yeah.
God owns everything.
Yeah.
Right? And so now you come to God with your $100 need.
Hmm.
And he gives unto you according to his riches and glory. In other words, he gives unto you according to what he has.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, God had a whole lot more than $100.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He has a whole lot more than $100.
Yeah.
And so when he gives unto you, he's giving according to what he has.
Yeah.
And guess what? He has more than enough for what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see?
Wow.
And so you gotta understand, that's the God we serve.
Amen.
And when he gives unto us, he's giving unto us out of a bounty that knows no bounds.
Jesus.
That's why our cup runneth over.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Amplified Version says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack.
Mm-hmm.
The New Living Translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hmm? And what does it say? He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what? He pours more than enough into my cup.
Yeah.
So get this thing. If that's the God you serve, why are you going to stop at the factual matter that says, right now, you don't have enough?
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't matter. I'm about to change this in a minute. I'm putting my focus on the God I serve, the God who's more than enough. Amen. And I'm going to keep my eyes on him. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. And I'm not going to be looking at the two fish and five loaves of bread. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. I'm putting this situation into your hands, God. Your hands are big enough, strong enough, and more than enough to meet the need that I have.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the God we serve.
I
want to close by showing you something, amen, in the book of Ruth. Just ask you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 2. This message is wonderful for us today because so often we find ourselves battling with this sense of not having enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the thing is, like I said, many times it's true in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But God calls us to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen? He says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
How do we walk? We walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
So God is calling us to walk, to live, to operate in the Spirit realm, not in this natural realm. And that's a challenge for us because we're living here, right? Your feet are firmly on the ground. You can see things and touch things in the natural, amen? But God is saying that we shouldn't stop there, amen? Because if we're living in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, believing in the Spirit, then we have to go beyond the natural, amen?
Amen.
Amen. But the story of Ruth, you remember Ruth left her country, amen? Because Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons had left Jerusalem, or they had left Bethlehem, and they went to Moab.
Right.
And they were there, and the sons got married to two Moabite women.
Yeah.
And Elimelech died, and the two sons died.
Yeah.
And so then Ruth said, I'm going back to Jerusalem.
Right.
And she left and she was bitter, it says. She said, because I left out full and I'm coming back empty.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't call me Ruth anymore, call me Mara, which means bitter.
Right.
And her two daughters-in-law were coming with her and she said, you both need to go back. I don't have any sons to give to you.
Yeah.
And the other daughter-in-law went back.
Mm-hmm.
But Ruth said, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
He said, is your God will be my God.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And she came and she was living with. But how many of you know though, Ruth and Naomi come back and Naomi has nothing. She's poor. She's poor. Right? She's a widow. And Ruth is a widow.
Right.
And they have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day Ruth goes out. Let's look at Ruth chapter 2. Ruth goes out and it said that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth says to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was the light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Her hat is like she just happened to. How many of you know she just happened to?
Wow.
Is the grace of God.
Amen.
It just seemed like it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But God was at work.
Right.
Because she goes out to glean. And out of all the fields in the land, she goes to the field that's owned by Boaz.
Yeah.
Right? And now she's going to glean. And gleaning from the New Testament, amen, I mean from the Old Testament, if you look it up, amen, if you want to look it up later, it's in Leviticus 19 and 9 and 23 and 22. And you also see it in Deuteronomy chapter 24. But gleaning, right, God instituted this concept of gleaning. That if you had a field, God said, do not harvest the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You harvest the interior, right, of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave the edges for the poor and the foreigners to pick off of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he also said, if you are harvesting in the interior and you drop something, you drop some grain, don't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You leave it there for the poor and the foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they came and picked it up, they were glean.
Yeah.
So Ruth went out to glean.
Mm-hmm.
She went out to go to a field so she could pick around the edges and to then also pick up what the harvesters had dropped by mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so she just happened, the scripture says, to come to Boaz's field.
Mm-hmm.
God led her there. How many of you know that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So she goes to Boaz's field. Let's continue. And it says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, verse 4, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Because he sees Ruth. Amen. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi. And she said, I pray you, let me clean and gather after the reapers. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Look at Boaz is saying, I don't want you to go to another field.
Amen.
You stay here. Amen. You stay here in this field. Verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged young men that they shall not touch thee? Not only do you stay here, but I'm going to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm telling these young men, they better not harass you. They better not bother you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And when thou art thirst, go into the vessels and drink that of which the young men have drawn. I'm going to satisfy your thirst too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stay here. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to satisfy your thirst. You just stay here in my field. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown to me all that you have done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. He saw, he had heard about the good deeds that she was doing, amen, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and I'll come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee. Verse 9, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz says unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, or roasted grain. Amen. And she ate, she did eat, and was what?
Sufficed.
She was satisfied. And then it says, and left. Now, I don't want you to think that she ate and got up. Some people eat and leave. You ever have people going to your house, they eat and leave? Some of you know that's bad manners. Amen.
Right.
Just eat and leave.
Right.
I want you to know Ruth didn't eat and leave.
Yeah.
When it says she was sufficed and left, what it's saying really is that she had something left.
Mm-hmm.
You look in the Amplified version, she said she ate until she was satisfied and had some left.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean. So she's still there. She didn't eat and leave. Amen. But she had enough.
Yeah.
And she had some left.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
So what she had?
More.
She had more than
enough.
Right?
Yeah.
And when she was risen up to glean, watch this. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not.
Mm-hmm.
Look what he says here. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now that of purpose means on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you see what he said?
Mm-hmm.
And lead them that she may glean them and rebuke her not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Boaz said? Now, the law of gleaning said she can glean the outside,
mm-hmm.
she can glean the inside if they drop something.
Yeah.
And what Boaz said was, let her glean,
mm-hmm.
but also, even though you have stuff in the basket, I want you to take some stuff out of the basket and drop it on purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that she can pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep reading. So she gleaned in the field even until evening, and beat out that she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So she went home with a whole basket full. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. See, that was the parched corn that she had. So she gave her the basket, and she had some of the roasted corn, or roasted grain, that she had left over.
Yeah.
Ruth came back with a bounty.
Yes, she did.
Amen.
Amen.
And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? Huh? Glory to God, because you know you've been blessed. Where did you go?
Uh-huh.
Where have you worked? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had brought and said, the man's name with whom I have brought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Boaz was in the position of being a kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kinsman redeemer, God has set up this as saying that there would be the nearest male relative who would help the family who was in trouble or danger or in need.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kinsman redeemer, for example, could redeem a person out of slavery if they were in the family. They sold themselves into slavery because they had to pay off a debt.
Right.
The kinsman redeemer could come and purchase that person back.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
The kinsman redeemer could purchase back property that you sold or lost and get it back. Right? The kinsman redeemer would marry his brother's wife if the brother died, amen, leaving them without children, so that the brother's name and the family name would not extinguish in the land.
Right. Yeah.
That was the role of the kinsman redeemer. Sometimes the obligation, sometimes the privilege. Boaz was kinsman redeemer. Right? Because he was in it. Now, there was someone closer in line, if you read the story, right? There was someone closer in line who could marry. And when he found out that he had to marry Ruth, he said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And Boaz was next in line, and Boaz married her.
Yeah.
And they had a son, and his name was Obed.
Yeah.
Now, who's the grandfather of David.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the lineage of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boaz is a figure of Jesus in the sense of being the kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
How many of you know Jesus is our kinsman redeemer?
Yeah.
He's the firstborn among many brethren, amen?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Hebrews that he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters,
right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So he is our kinsman and redeemer. How many of you know he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy.
Yes,
amen. And just like Boaz, so when you look at this story, you got to realize that although this is happening to Ruth, you can look at yourself and realize that your kinsman redeemer is doing even better than what Boaz is doing.
Yes.
So what did Boaz do? Right? First of all, God led her to a field, and Boaz then says, stay here in my field. I want you to know, Jesus is saying that, listen, God led you to his field, and he says to you, you stay right here in this field.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Don't go out there trying to make ends meet. Don't go out, you stay right here in this field. Amen. Amen. And he's providing for you. He's going to provide for your service. He's going to provide for your protection.
Yeah.
And not only that, remember what Boaz did to Ruth? He told the reapers, let some stuff fall down on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory to God. I want you to know God is dropping some things in your life on purpose. He's doing some stuff on purpose. Amen. He's making people do things for you purposefully. Amen. He's purposing to see that your needs are met. You may think that you are where you are by happenstance. God led you there, amen? And he wants you to stay where you are. He's your kinsman redeemer, and he's going to give you more than enough.
Yeah,
Ruth has more than enough. Why? Because Boaz made sure to see to it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Made her comfortable, gave her, treated her like royalty, and then made sure blessings were coming to her life on purpose.
Yeah.
I want you to know this is a picture of what Jesus is doing for you, and it's even greater than this.
Yeah.
Amen? Because Boaz is just a type.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus, amen, he is the one. Amen.
Yeah.
And so here we are. We've been redeemed by Jesus, and we need to understand he's given us more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he's providing for us, amen, in ways that we don't have to go wanting or lacking.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure we keep our eyes on him.
Mm-hmm.
We got to keep our focus on him.
Yeah,
you don't have enough, but get up, amen. You get up and you look up and you put your trust in the Lord, amen. Because you know something, amen. I, like Paul, right? Our sufficiency is not of myself.
Yeah.
Amen. But my sufficiency is what? Is of God.
Amen.
You have more than enough in God.
Yeah.
Amen. I have more than enough in God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the challenge is before you right now, God is more than enough for that.
Amen.
I don't care what that challenge is. Amen. Physical, financial, relational. Amen. God is more than enough for that. Amen. And so know what we have to do? Realize, I serve the God of more than enough. And because I do, I'm going to rest in his bounty. I'm going to rest in his abundance. I'm going to have confidence that he's going to help me. I have expectation that he's going to meet and exceed my needs. Amen. I believe that this situation is about to turn around. Amen. Glory to God. It's going to turn in my favor. Glory to God. Amen. So listen, rejoice today. Amen. If you're facing something, and I know you are, I don't say if as if you're not.
Right.
Right? But whatever it is you're facing, know that you serve a God who's what?
More than enough.
More than enough. He's more than enough for that. So release your faith for it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Challenge yourself and then be glad with the challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to believe God right now.
Yeah.
Amen? Faithful, I see what you're saying, but I'm believing God right now. He's more than enough. And every day, you just go around, you keep saying, Lord, I serve a God who's more than enough. Amen. He's going to multiply my two ones and my one zero. What? My two fives and my ten. That's all I got in my wallet. Amen. He's going to multiply my two fives and my ten. Amen.
All right.
But he is the God of more than enough.
Amen.
Amen. Get our eyes off the factual. Amen. Get our eyes on the spiritual. Get our eyes off the natural. Get our eyes on God.
Amen.
He's the God of more than enough. Amen.
Yeah.
And let's stand and pray together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take that situation to him this afternoon. Father, we bless you right now. We do give you thanks and praise. We thank you, God, that you are the God of more than enough. Father, we know that in ourselves, we don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't know enough.
Yeah.
We can't do enough. Father God, we are just insufficient.
Yeah.
But God, we know that you are more than enough.
More than enough.
You overflow our cups, dear God.
God.
You multiply the fish and bread and you leave leftovers.
Yeah,
oh God.
God.
Father God, you are a God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You exceed our expectations and our requests.
Yes,
so God, we release our faith in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in other people. But our confidence is in our God.
Yes,
and Father, we know that you love us, that you're mindful of us, that you care for us. And God, we believe that it is your heartfelt desire to help us and to bless us in the way that you want to, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, we set ourselves right now. Whatever it is that we are needing, oh Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we purpose right now, but we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit
yes.
to not
yes.
stop at the factual. God, to not look around and then draw conclusions of the matter.
Yes.
But Father God, to go to the next step of releasing our faith
yes.
and believing on you, God, to
yes.
do what we cannot do. To provide what we don't have and to lead us in ways, oh God, that will give us the victory. In the name of Jesus.
God.
Father God, we purpose right now, God, with that situation that's bothering us, with that thorn in our side, we thank you right now, God, that your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you right now that your grace is more than enough, that your love is more than enough, that your provision, your protection, your blessing, your anointing, your favor, more than enough for us. And so, God, we shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, in the midst of our situation, because, God, our eyes are on you, and you are the God of more than enough. And so, Father God, we are excited, God, as we prepare to receive the overflowing blessings from the hand and the heart of our God. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. Father, I ask you right now, God, Father, to move in the lives of your people right now, those under the sound of my voice and those who are not here today, God, but wish they could be here.
Yes.
Father, I'm praying right now that you will move and address
yes.
the situation that's on the forefront of your people's mind, God.
Yes.
Father, you know what it is. And God, I just ask you to move, God. Give them the faith to believe
yes.
in you for more than enough. Let them know, God, glory to God, that you are right there with them in the valley. Glory to God. And that you will lead them out to the mountaintops. Father, I thank you right now for the turnaround. I thank you right now for the testimony. I thank you right now for the victory that you are giving your people as they release their faith and confess with their mouth that you are the God of more than enough. Glory to God. So, Father, we give you praise for your bountiful blessings that are being released even now. We receive them by faith in the Son of God. And we thank you for them all, God, right now. In Jesus' great name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.